Welcome to Act It, Episode 2. Hi, Scarlett.
Hi.
So we put three people through last episode. Tonight we have 9 auditions at this time. We might get more in before I'm done recording. Because last time I said we had 5 and we got 2 in while I was recording. While we were recording. There's no I in team.
Yeah, there is no I in team.
So, with these 9, if there that we could potentially have the 12 people through if we say yes to everybody tonight.
Ooh.
Yeah, they might. If they really kick Asphalt, they will go through.
I hate you.
Did you ever clear up the Asphalt
thing? Yes, I did. Everyone around me calls it Asphalt. Everyone. My parents.
Does everyone around you have, like, a speech impediment?
No! Oh, God. Is everyone around you a dick?
Do you say ass or ash?
We say ash. All of them.
Do you say ass ketchum?
No.
Do you switch them around?
That has nothing to do with anything.
I'm just asking a question.
Well, no. Yes? No? I forget your question.
Okay. That's good. So, 9 auditions tonight. I'm seeing some acted veterans and some acted noobs alike, and they're all going to be performing monologues for our entertainment and for us to be judgmental over.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always fun. I'm excited. Are you excited?
I am excited.
First up tonight, we already have a resubmission from last episode. Copper is resubmitting.
Yes. It's exciting.
Let's check it out.
Ah! Oh! 10,000 years will give you such a crick in the neck. Whoa, does it feel good to be out of there? Nice to be back, ladies and gentlemen! Hi, where are you from? What's your name? Aladdin? Hello, Aladdin. Nice to have you on the show. Can I call you Al? Or maybe just Din? Or how about Laddie? Sounds like, here, boy, come on, laddie! Do you smoke? Mind if I do? Oh, sorry, Cheetah. Hope I didn't singe the fur. Hey, Rugman! Haven't seen you in a few millennia. Slap me some tassel. Yo, yeah! Say, you're a lot smaller than my last master. Either that or I'm getting bigger. Look at me from the side. Do I look different to you? That's right. You're my master. He can be taught. What would you wish of me? The ever-impressive, the long-contained, often imitated, but never duplicated. Duplicated, 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 duplicated. Genie of the lamp. Right here, direct from the lamp, right here for your enjoyment wish fulfillment. Thank you. You get 3 wishes to be exact, and ixnay on the wishing for more wishes. That's it, 3. Uno, dos, tres. No substitutions, exchanges, or refunds. Master, I don't think you quite realize what you've got here. So why don't you just ruminate whilst I illuminate the possibilities?
Copper the re-audition. It's like copper, hyphen. Well, not a hyphen, but a colon. Re-audition. The re-audition. It's like a sequel.
Yes, it is.
Kudos for upping the energy. And
yeah.
I'm rooting for you.
That was actually a lot of fun.
It was, but see, I love Disney, but this monologue, okay, if you're going to do the genie monologue, it's like Robin Williams, so you've got to at least come close to capturing the manic genie energy or it doesn't work for me. And I don't think this was nearly energetic enough, but I do like that you picked up the energy, and I still wish you had done that other monologue and that energy. What did you think, though, Scarlett?
I really liked, the upped energy in this one. I thought the beginning, the first couple lines could have been a lot more energetic and like actually you yelling, because at first I was like, what is this? And then when I recognized it was a genie, I was like, he pretty much like yells at the beginning, right? Because he just got unleashed from a lamp or something. Also, just watch the puffs.
The what?
The puffs. Did you hear the puffs?
No, I didn't hear them.
Oh, but it's when
good
you,
catch.
The air hits the mic, because that happened
a
few times.
I know what a puff is. I just didn't hear them.
Whoa, sorry.
I see what you were trying to... I think you were trying to make this build, but for the genie, it's just balls to the wall, start to finish.
And I like the duplicate part. That was...
I did too. I kind of felt like I was high or something. For that. yes or no, Scarlett?
I'd actually say yes. Because... Huh? What? Yeah, because...
No.
Stop doing that.
I'm not mocking your decision. I'm just. Why
no,
would you say...
I'd say. Well, okay, I'd say yes without you interrupting. Because I see a lot of potential and the amount of energy that you were able to put into this, I think you could definitely bring into other monologues or just other things in general. And I think you've got a lot of hope.
See, now you're going to make me be the
sucker.
Oh, I don't know. See, the thing is, he did choose a Disney monologue, which makes me inclined to like it more. But the problem is, I just don't feel like you captured Genie, and I don't feel like you should do a monologue from the Genie unless you're going to, like, really get that energy. But, like, I feel like he thought he was getting the energy, and I feel like maybe that's as energetic as he can be. But you have to be a lot bigger than that, even, for the Genie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Scarlet.
Well, you have to make a decision. What happens when we have arguing decisions? Sorry, I just...
You need two yeses to go through.
Okay.
So, if I say no, he doesn't go through. And then I have to feel bad.
Well, it's up to you, sucker.
I'm going to say no, but... If you redo that first monologue you did, and you have more energy in it, I will say yes no matter what.
Yeah.
And if it sucks, I will say yes. I just want to see that you can take a monologue and put make it... I want it energetic, that first monologue. Because an actor, even if... I know that you believe that monologue that you did before does not call for more energy. But as an actor, you should be able to take any monologue and do anything I want you to do with it.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Well, I mean, that's true, though. If you're an actor, you can...
You should be able to do everything.
Take the first monologue, amp up the energy, make it have some nice levels, and I will say yes. But for now, it's a no. Sorry, Copper.
All right.
But Scarlett liked you. And she's more attractive than I do, and she has boobs. So you can take that to the bank.
I do have boobs.
She does. next up, we have... Let's see. We have Will. Will is up next. Star of Perform It.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say, really. 3 minutes till the biggest battle of our professional lives all comes down to today. Now either we heal as a team, or we're gonna crumble, inch by inch, play by play, till we're finished. We're in hell right now, gentlemen, believe me. And we can stay here, get the shit kicked out of us. Or we can fight our way back into the light. We can climb out of hell 1 inch at a time. Now I can't do it for you. I'm too old. I look around, I see these young faces, and I think... I mean, I made every wrong choice a middle-aged man can make. I pissed away all my money. Believe it or not, I chased off anyone who's ever loved me. And lately, I can't even stand the face I see in the mirror. You know, when you get old in life, things get taken from you. I mean, that's part of life. But you only learn that when you start losing stuff. You find out life's this game of inches. So is football. Because in either game, life or football... The margin for error is so small. I mean, one half step too late or too early, and you don't quite make it. One half second too slow, too fast, you don't quite catch it. The inches we need are everywhere around us. They're in every break of the game, every minute, every second. On this team, we fight for that inch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that inch. We claw with our fingernails for that inch. Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying. I'll tell you this. In any fight, it's the guy who's willing to die who's gonna win that inch. And I know if I'm gonna have any life anymore, it's because I'm still willing to fight and die for that inch. Because that's what living is. The 6 inches in front of your face. Now I can't make you do it. You gotta look at the guy next to you. Look into his eyes. Now I think you're gonna see a guy who will go that inch with you. You're gonna see a guy who will sacrifice himself for this team, because he knows when it comes down to it, you're gonna do the same for him. That's a team, gentlemen. And either we heal now as a team, or we will die as individuals. That's football, guys. That's all it is. Now, what are you gonna do?
It's funny. I give Scarlett this exact speech right before we recorded.
Oh.
And it amped you up, didn't it, Scarlett?
Yeah, it did. Really did.
I, too, have chased off anyone that's ever loved me, but don't worry, Scarlett. I will not chase you away.
Okay.
So what'd you think?
Did you just assume that I loved you? No, I mean, sorry. I thought that was actually really, really great. I really liked the build-up is what I put down. It was nice because I noticed that it was 3 minutes when I was listening to it, and I was just waiting for the build, and then once I hit about the minute mark, the build did come in, and you started yelling and sounding more angry, and it was really well done. I liked it.
Like, I noticed it was 3 minutes, too, and I was like, uh-oh. But it never dragged, and, like, I was interested in it from start to finish.
Yeah, me too.
And I don't even like football. I do like that movie, though. It's a good movie.
I don't know what movie it's from.
Any Given Sunday.
Okay.
I'm eating Chicken McNuggets, so talk.
Oh, me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I thought it was really, really good. It's a yes for me, I'd say. Definitely.
I was listening thinking, okay, he's my coach, and he has to get me amped up to go out and get my ass kicked by a bunch of huge football players on the field. And I would do that for him based on this monologue.
Yeah.
It got amped up.
I was thinking I would die for whatever I wanted because of this monologue.
We would die for you, Will.
Yeah, I would die for you. Well, we would, yeah.
We as a, yeah.
Yeah.
Only if we can die together.
I might kill you first, sorry.
If I die before Scarlett, Scarlett would piss on my grave. And that is not cool. It is a yes for me. I love this. Yes. This one really got me excited. This is maybe my favorite so far.
Me too.
All right. Let us move on to, this is from Theaterbound 31.
Ooh.
This comes with a backstory.
Oh, it does?
Yeah. Both Angie and Harmony are in their early teens. Okay. Angie's going through some physical changes inside and out. And like any other good teenager, can't associate these changes with life's little obstacles.
Oh.
So that's some backstory for what we're about to witness.
Sounds like
I have a feeling this is going to make me uncomfortable. Are you ready?
Yes.
Theaterbound 31, you are up next.
What is going on, Harmony? I don't get it. Why is it when you become a teenager, everything gets so confusing? I mean, what are they doing? Spiking the makeup? Is there some unwritten law that when you become a teenager, you move into the realm of insanity? If I remember correctly, that's about this time everything started getting nutty. Think about it. I'm supposed to wash my face before I exercise to prevent buildup. No, now I'm supposed to wash my face after I exercise to prevent breakouts. I'm not supposed to eat chocolate because it causes pimples. Wait, I'm supposed to eat chocolate before I take a test because it's great brain food. I'm supposed to have lots of foods that are rich in iron to help my circulation. Hold on. Now, I'm not supposed to have a lot of iron because it prevents my body from absorbing calcium properly. Well, if I can survive being a confused teenager, I think I can pretty much survive anything. Let's get out of here. I'm hungry.
Theater Bound! She's a noob at VH and I like her. She's cool.
Awesome.
She is an amazing singer.
So, pretty much you described my life. Hello.
Still, this is about girls going through puberty when they're like 13. Are you going through the change?
I'm still going through puberty. No. What I would have liked probably is maybe just a different monologue, to be honest. Though, because like I thought maybe one with more levels. Because to me, the subject matter didn't exactly change from start.
For me, on Acta, we almost always have a fair amount of these, like, teen monologues that are on the internet, and I hate them because they're, like, I don't think they're very well written, and I don't think they give you a chance to really use levels.
Yeah. And then also at the very beginning, it sounded a bit like you were stumbling, so maybe just try to read it out loud a few more times before you record.
Yeah.
But other than that, though, I liked the emotion that you put in, and I thought it was very teenage-like.
Yeah, like, I thought it was acted well for the monologue, but I would have wanted more levels.
And yeah, like, I'd say the monologue choice is the downfall of this one.
I don't think it's you, it's the monologue choice.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, there were places you could have put levels in, and I'm sure, but I don't know. I would really like to hear you resubmit because mm-hmm. I think this monologue is beneath you as an actress.
Yes, me too.
So it's a no for me for now, but I would like to. I hope that you resubmit.
Yeah, no for me, but also resubmission.
All right. What? Next.
Who's next?
Next up is Insomnia Jacket. And a bit of background, this is from the play Nude with Violin by Noel Coward. It's basically a play about a famous painter who has died, and while his family tends to his affairs, they discover that he had never painted any of the pictures he was famous for. This is already intriguing.
Ooh.
This little bit is at the very end, spoiler alert, when his servant Sebastian, the one giving the monologue, is threatened with the notion of revealing the fraud to the public by Mr. Friedland, the painter's manager. Oh, that Mr. Freeland's such a dick already. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Not only will he be disappointed, the whole world of modern painting will be humiliated and impoverished. The casualties in Hollywood alone will be appalling. The bottom will fall out of the market, and thousands of up-and-coming young artists will starve. It will be a cataclysm. Many of the great masters, too, will be flung into disrepute. Their finest pictures will be viewed with suspicion and distrust. If the news leaks out that the great Sirodin's masterpieces were painted by a Russian tart, an ex-Jackson girl, an 11th-hour immersionist, and a boy of 14... the rot will spread like wildfire. Modern sculpture, music, drama, and poetry will all shrivel in the Holocaust. Think what will happen to those tens of thousands of industrious people who today are earning a comfortable livelihood by writing without grammar, composing without harmony, and painting without form. These poor, miserable wretches will either be flung into abject poverty or forced really to learn their jobs. Reputations will wither overnight. No one will be spared, not even Grandma Moses. Pause and consider, Mr. Friedland, before you unleash this chaos. It will not only be ridicule that you have to fear, it will be crucifixion. Your colleagues alone will see to that. Ah, here are two of them now.
All right, Insomnia Jacket. First of all, let me just say, because in his email he said, I don't know that many anime monologues, so thank you for not knowing anime monologues. That makes me happy.
Yeah, it does.
Make you want to start?
No, I don't. You can start this one.
He also said he wanted to get an audition in rather quickly, so I like that. I like that industrious attitude.
Yes.
From the explanation you gave, I feel like your character is sort of like desperately trying to convince this dick, Mr. Friedland, to keep the secret. And I didn't really get that from you on this, like the desperation and like the urgency. It was kind of like very laid back for what, according to your description, Sebastian is trying to accomplish, unless I'm misinterpreting something.
So. No, I got the same. I thought that should have been more serious because it sounded like you were approaching it like with a really silly manner. Like, I think just the way you were saying stuff sounded really silly and...
I think the voice didn't help either.
Yeah, like, it wasn't translating very well for what I was trying to, like, get the meaning out of the monologue. And so...
And the voice, your voice that you picked, you were wavering in and out of it a little bit towards the end. It was kind of going in and out. So...
I liked the laugh.
I liked the character. And he set a character and he stuck with it, but I don't feel like, based on the description that the character... had enough urgency, and I didn't think that this monologue had enough levels in it to really show what you're capable of.
Mm-hmm. Like, I thought some of the lines were really funny in the monologue, but at the same time, I feel as though your character could have been more serious, and then the lines still would have been funny with a serious character.
Yeah, he said the only movie monologue he could get a grip on was the president's telephone call to the Soviet premier and Dr. Strangelove. But he wasn't sure that would end up being too long. I'd really like to hear that. I hope if it's not too long, I would really like to hear you do that.
Yeah.
Because I think I think you could pull that one off pretty well. But for me, for this, it's a no.
Yeah, I'm going to say a no, too.
Sorry.
Yeah, I think Will set our standards now.
Yeah, I think so. I hope you re-audition, though, because, again, I think I feel like you're really talented from that
model. Yeah, no, I think you're really talented, too. So.
And I like that you kind of took a risk with it. It just didn't pay off for me.
I think you just need to work on the mood of the monologue and try to get the mood out.
Yeah. Next up is Seymour.
Oh.
This is an original piece that Seymour made called Creativity. It's about a boy finally unleashing his inner hate for someone's highly cynical view on everything that's been recently made because they have this very high standard.
Hmm.
So right away I'm expecting levels on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that people are giving us like a sort of a what their monologue's about. That's really helpful.
I know, right? I never got that before.
Continue to do this. So yeah, Seymour is up next.
All right.
You can go ahead and sit there and complain, oh, this looks like crap, or oh, I won't play it because it's not original, or this is just based off of that. You know what? I'm tired of listening to you. Do you know why there is a problem with creativity today? It's because of people like you. Everyone has set this golden standard on comedy, games, movies, books, and once something comes out that's at least trying to get its name out there, you instantly pan it because it didn't live up to that standard. And this is why people are scared to do anything now, or just stick to low-grade material. They're scared. They're scared of people like you. And that annoys me just as much as you. People need to grow a pair, and accept that there always will be pessimistic people. But to have someone like you come along who just spouts out a never-ending hatred for everything is not right. It's not right at all. You seriously just need to grow up and move on from those standards before you lose another friend.
All right. Seymour.
Seymour.
Seymour. Hey, this monologue, just like the emo teenage monologue was you, this monologue is me, because I feel exactly the same way as this monologue.
Oh, yeah?
I like this monologue.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
I like your performance of it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like, I guess it helps maybe that you wrote it. I don't suggest everybody write monologues, because in the past, people have written and then performed their monologues, and the monologues were shit. But this one is well written.
I actually got a question about that on the VAA board, and I was like, well, we don't really prefer it, but like, if you can write well and if you have confidence in it, then go for it.
Yeah, the problem is everybody thinks they can write well.
I know, right? But
Seymour is Seymour's
well. Yeah, this is good. This is really good. Yeah, it was actually really well acted, and I liked the levels because there was like really high energy, and then you kind of went low near the end, and then but then you brought it back up, and I was like, ah, oh, this is good levels.
And the other thing I liked about it was it felt like he was actually yelling at somebody. Like it didn't feel like reedy or performy.
Yeah, because yelling is very difficult to do to make it actually sound genuine, for sure. Because some people just raise their voice, and you're like, you just rose your voice. You know, it doesn't.
And a lot of people yell like this because they don't want other people to hear them. But when you yelled, I wet myself.
That is pleasant.
And if you can make me wet myself, then I'd say yes.
I'd say yes, too. Except not because he wet himself.
He said yes because I wet myself. Seymour, you are on the next episode. Pirate Jenny is up next. I love this screen name. This is my monologue audition for season 4 of Acted. It's from High Fidelity, which is my favorite movie of all time except for The Lion King. So, I'm expecting great things from Pirate Jenny.
Ooh.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.